Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the May 6th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda is three changes in the meeting agenda. We have an addenda F1, schedules A2 and A5, and replacement pages, item F1 cover sheet, and schedule A7. Student recognition, Mrs. Bessich?
Yes, I'd like to invite up to the podium Mr. Vincent Izzo, a principal of Murphy Junior High School.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me up here tonight. And we have some of our students, a lot of Murphy students excel in different areas, but we have tonight some of our students who have earned some great awards in ELA. So I'm going to bring up Kathy Duffy, our department chair, in order to introduce the students and just exactly what we're honoring them for this evening. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Izzo.
Good evening. It is truly a pleasure and honor to recognize these young, talented writers tonight. The first young person I would like to introduce won the National Council of Teachers of English Promising Young Writers competition. This competition was established in 1985 by NCTE to recognize talented 8th grade students from around the country. Over 191 students were nominated for this honor nationally, and only 45 students were recognized as winners for their superior writing ability. Congratulations, Katie Zell. Katie?
Congratulations.
Our English teachers encouraged our students to write for larger audiences whenever possible. The Scholastic Art and Writing Awards, founded in 1923, provides such a venue. This year, students across the United States submitted over 255,000 original works. Superior writers were recognized with three awards: a Gold Key, which represents the top 1-7% of all submitted writing; a Silver Key, the top 8-10%; and an Honorable Mention Award, representing the top 11-15%. Murphy had at least one winner in each of these categories. I will first introduce the honorable mention winners. When I call your name, if you would please come up. Samara Ahmed.
Congratulations.
Serena Liu. Ilsen Shahzad.
One second. We will get it. I'm sorry. You don't have it.
Emily Toth. Other young people who are not here tonight, but I'd like to recognize their names: Ivy Guan, Julia Hugh, and Noor Kamel. The next award is the Silver Key Award, which is the top 8-10% of writers. The first I'd like to call up is Maddie Avni.
I
Justin Diamond. And Amy Zinn. And finally, our Gold Key Award winner, who is among the top 1 to 7%, and that's Cameron McCoy.
Did it come as Shahzadi Ilsa?
Yeah.
No. Let her, can we just borrow one and let her hold it?
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Thank
We're
you.
Just going to let her hold it.
Congratulate all of the students and are incredibly proud of this amazing achievement. You have made all of us in Three Village stand up and notice your accomplishments, and we wish you well as you move forward in your careers, whether you're going to Ward Melville or continuing at Murphy Junior High School. We wish you the very best. We know it's been a long day for all of you, and so if you would like to stay for the remainder of the board meeting, you're certainly welcome to do so. But if you would like to leave at this time, we completely understand that it's been a long day for you. So thank you.
Somebody has to stay for the meeting. Now turn to our first public participation session, and this will be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll turn to reports. George, student representative report.
So it is a pretty exciting time over at the high school. We've got AP exams going on the next 2 weeks, and Many students, including myself, have spent more time at the North Country Building taking these tests than they have at the actual high school, so, but we're getting through it. I'm moving over to sports. Our boys lacrosse team had a big win against a Richfield, Connecticut team who came all the way across the Long Island Sound and then got beaten, so that must have been a fun ferry ride back.
You don't seem too upset by that.
I don't. 4-1 for New York. Girls lacrosse also beat Riverhead. And then very exciting news from our boys baseball team who just clinched the league title. This is a pretty amazing team, and definitely keep an eye on them heading out for the rest of the season. Switching back, the Ward Level players will be putting on Brighton Beach Memoirs coming up. It's really come together nicely. The set looks beautiful. I'd encourage everyone to check that out. Ward Melville will be hosting a blood drive on May 20th. And May 1st was College Decision Day, so many seniors taking the next step in their educational career. That's what it's looking like right now.
Thank you very much, George. Turning to the second report, bond update, M&O.
I came up with an objective to try to keep myself directed and to be as thorough as I could without trying to run out of here. So I'm just going to go over the basic simples about maintenance and operations, what it is they do, some of the projects that we have completed, and give you a brief status update on the bond project. The office itself is, of course, run by myself. I have two clerical, Sharon, Michelle, and Marcy, who help in many, many different ways throughout. George Hoffman, who is my head groundskeeper, and of course, my right hand, Mr. Michael Bartel, is the maintenance foreman. District-wide, you can see the employees listed up there. What I'd like to bring to you exactly who is M&O. Maintenance and operations is a support mechanism to the education process. That is our belief in how we address every single day. It's a group of people dedicated to going beyond the expected in order to provide a clean, environmentally friendly, aesthetically appealing workspace that helps enhance the learning process. And that starts the moment they arrive at the school. We do our best to present the greatest product we can to the public, because 90% of the public only sees the exterior of the schools. This is a list or breakdown of each one of the buildings throughout the district. Combined, the occupied usable space is 1,369,654 square feet. This also includes an additional 30,756 feet, which would include the portable sack buildings, the concession stands, the baseball storage, all of the containers. And why I bring that to your attention is because every year we are responsible for having a fire inspection reporting to the State Education Department, who in turn supplies us a certificate of occupancy. So even the storage containers on our properties have a certificate of occupancy. That's a total of 1.4 million square feet. It's 294 acres that we maintain, and the entire district covers approximately 22 square miles. One of the programs that we use to provide the best that we can to everybody is a school due maintenance direct. Last year I checked for the school year, there were 700 work requests, and right now projected we're going to be well over 1,000. It provides a tool or a mechanism for all of the teachers and administrators at the schools to put in a request that goes through the principal's desk, the chief or head custodian for approval.
And then if it can't be held at that level, it comes to my office and is distributed for repair. This is a shot, it's a screenshot from my cell phone. This is a notification that we receive, myself and Jack right now, from Setauket Dispatch, Setauket Fire Department Dispatch. If you notice on there, it says Three Village Central School District notification 16. Being a volunteer firefighter, I know that that is an EMS call, that is an ambulance call. I also know that it's at the high school. The last one there that's slightly cut off, that says 13 structure fire, Julianus. That was a recent event that took place at the Julianus Junior High School, and I bring that up for a couple of reasons. It's to show how quickly a response we could have within the district, but also the level of communication that we have within the district that has now branched out to Setauket Fire Department, Stony Brook Fire Department, and even the 6th Precinct. The chief from Setauket Fire Department addressed Jack over the radio on our frequency, and the school resource officer, Keith Murphy, out of the 6th Precinct, after a parent had dialed 911 in concern, called us on our frequency from Holtsville to let us know that he was responding and he was in transit, and that was, again, was on our frequency. Another example of it, just this evening, Paul from North Country, Paul, Three Village Patrol, responded immediately to let him know he had letters to deliver, and that's how we deliver letters now with both security and the personnel. So it's the communication has become extremely efficient throughout, and I appreciate all of the support for that. This says it's nothing else needs to be said. We're glad to pass it. I'll rush through it because we really don't want to look at that anymore. This is George Hoffman pushing a lawnmower at the old Avenue building. I use this as an example because everybody in maintenance and operations is willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done and done properly. And there's the head groundsman pushing a lawnmower as an example. This was a snapshot. It's a little dated going back to Superstorm Sandy, but I wanted to just bring up two things about that. I know after the storm, when a number of people returned back, they didn't see the damages or the extent of the damages. So I wanted to bring to light that was as soon as the roads were safe, maintenance and operations were on the road, responded to the district to get access into the buildings. And to date, we recovered approximately $121,000 for the expenses we had for that time. These are the normal things that you would expect to see, somebody cutting grass, plowing, but then we get, we also take care of the athletic fields. This is the senior varsity baseball field at Ward Melville High School. It was getting a little beat up and was getting kind of worn out, and so we were talking and discussing about having it refurbished. We turned to Land Tech. It was relatively expensive, and George Hoffman and his crew insisted on refurbishing the infield for that, for the varsity field. And as you could see, it came out extremely well, which might merit the great team that we have. So be a part of it, please. All of those normal things, we also get a number of odd calls. This was a bee's nest that had not grasped anybody's attention until it was about 20 to 24 inches large. So that's the kind of calls that, an odd call that we do receive. I also received a phone call from a resident in the area of Setauket Elementary who had said that in the past there was drainage at Setauket Field, and when it had become congested and overgrown, her yard would flood. And she was letting me know that her yard was flooding on heavy rains. So this is the southwest corner of the property. When we went back there, you can see that there's some vertical cracks in the concrete. The wall had actually fallen in on itself and was completely overgrown. So we removed the vegetation, put the wall back together, put the grading back into its place. I haven't heard about any flooding since, but this is another out in the left field type item we would address. One of the gym teachers at Talkett Elementary brought to our attention a concern that they have. I don't have that teacher's name, and I wish I did. I apologize. That the students had to walk out of the gym and get to the field. They had to cut through the parking lot. Mm-hmm. They had a great deal of concern because of the little ones going between the cars that possibly somebody driving through could create a hazard. So we met with the principal, we met with the gym teacher, asked what it was. Mr. Paulson supported it, and we removed a couple spots. We painted the crosswalk, and just this is the hand-in-hand work that we do every opportunity we can. This is to the rear of North Country. I bring this to your attention due to the fact that if you look to the right of the picture, there's a tree line and there's a fence line. This is in the rear of the building. It's completely obscured from the public. This is a hill or a grade that Browns had worked on for a couple of weeks. And the purpose of it was we took a completely unusable space because of the slope. We have three storage containers in there. It's acting as a retaining wall. We also took large concrete block or mafia block. We've created a surround, and we keep the dumpster in that location now. So a dump truck, a pickup truck, a dump trailer, get back up to it, dump it right in the dumpster. We don't have to have dumpsters brought to the site. They can do the work, they can remove debris or whatever work they do at the school, bring it back here. We don't have to have half-filled dumpsters. The dumpster is completely filled, and then it's removed. So it cuts down on expenses. North Country SAC office, they were having some challenges when trying to supply to parents a smooth operation when they came into the office to file for services. So we spoke to them exactly what they were looking for. We came up with a service window that helped them just provide a more orderly fashion so that somebody could walk up into the office, know exactly where they need to go to, and they could be just addressed immediately. This is Nassaukeag Elementary. That's custom casework that you see. We had a couple of my guys that are here tonight, Frank Palladino, Mike Wattel, Jimmy Torrey, all worked on this. This was in anticipation of the pre-K. All of the woodwork in the room was removed, and they built it, they set up shop in one of the classrooms, and they built it all customized to each room. This with Gail Cassiano, Kristen Rimmer, this was the finished product that they're going to provide for each one of the classrooms. This is a conference room at North Country that the guys built. We were given the opportunity and the support to show off a little bit of their craftsmanship, which, thank you. I think they did an excellent job, and this was again with the coordination of Christine Dovinelli, who helped with some color choices. I'm a dogs playing poker on black velvet type guy, so I was out of it. I just let them pick it. And of course, with Karen Walter Blair, she helped with or supply the Proximus and smart boards, and her staff worked very closely with my staff to provide this. This is another room, and why I'm showing you this one in particular is because of the portable tables or folding tables, I'm sorry, and folding chairs that you see in this room. I have to give credit for this entirely to the principal at Julian's, Bill Bernhardt, who recognized with the setup and the testings in the gym at Julian's and Murphy that they would have to take every desk and chair from the first floor and every desk and chair from the second floor, bring it to the gym, borrow chairs and table desks from another building, 3 days later put it away, wait for the weekend, and do it again. The labor was very intensive. The amount of labor, of course, increases the possibility for injury. So we came up with the table and chairs. They come in boxes, 36 to a box. They're put onto a pallet. The cables come 52 to a box. I could roll them into the building in a box, could take them out, set them up very easily, put them back in, and they're off property, and they don't have to worry about them again. We can set them up pretty much in everywhere, and they're in the boardroom right now, one of the reasons we're here. When I brought up about aesthetically appealing, this is a great representation of it. We should be very proud of this. This is a global organization, Jocks and Controls, who saw the beauty of Ward Melville High School, took a picture of it, and now use it on a national ad brochure. They send it throughout the country. Going into Jocks and Controls in particular, the ESCO program we have going, we are in the third year of the first phase right now. I just recently met with them. The projected savings that they had presented at the beginning of the program was $722,000 a year. Last year, we were able to save $771,000, so we've met that expectation and actually exceeded it. We're currently in phase two, which includes more efficient transformers for the buildings, LED lighting, both interior and exterior. That would be gyms, mini gyms, auditoriums. I just received an email from the head custodian at Mount that the gym is done there, so we already have one building down and completed. And I also just signed off on the paperwork with Johnson Controls today, which they filed with PSE&G Long Island, and we expect to have $141,155 back in rebates alone. And I know we've been presenting lately, phase three, of course, is the solar panel project that's district-wide. I would like to bring up some of the bonds, the current bonds. We are absolutely in the very preliminary stages of this, and it's all the planning. We have some exceptional people working on it, getting those plans in place, so that when that window opens June 20th, we will be off and we will be rocking. It's a very tight schedule, but all the plans are falling in place. Some of the nobody wants to see pictures of wires and cables that are ran in the attics in anticipation of things, so I didn't choose that, but we are very well underway and very excited about everything going on. So that's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions that I can answer, I'd be very happy to.
Questions or comments from colleagues? Great job. And that's also be a staff for the wonderful yes. job that yes. they yes. do. They
Thank
have
you.
To know that.
Thank you.
if I could get a word in on this.
Of course you can.
I just want to say a word on those folding desks and tables. They're being used for the AP exams. I just sat in one for 4 hours, and they are phenomenal.
Thank God you said that.
they're such a great idea. In the past, it's always like a random chance on what kind of desk you're gonna get, and those things really cleared up a lot of problems, and you got a lot of kids. Awesome. A lot of positive feedback.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I realized after you spoke that I did skip two frames. And, you know, we said that we are a support mechanism for the education process. We are. I don't go into a classroom to teach. I don't pass anything on to any of the students. All I can do is try to help in any way we can. So one of the things that personally, I feel we are the most directly involved with is the prom and graduation. And I would have to say it probably brings me the most joy and gratification knowing that I'm a part of that process, because I get there all day, as a number of guys here are, and then I'm there that night to watch it all also. So I could get
it. That was phenomenal. Yes.
Very good. Again, thank you so much.
And I really want to commend you and your staff. I've worked here for a very, very long time, and I have to say that our buildings have never looked so beautiful, both on the inside and the outside, and it really is a credit to you and to the staff, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, with those folding desks and chairs, Ken was the one that did all the leg. Ken found those. It was, the need was pointed out, but Ken found those.
Good, thank you.
Turning to item 7, items for board discussion. Are there any items that you'd like to discuss this evening? Seeing none, turning to 8, public hearing on the 2015-16 budget.
Kind of quick, I think pretty much everybody here has seen this a number of times, and that we've been talking about the budget for several months now, and of course I'll be happy to answer any questions anybody may have. And in addition to all of our discussions here at Board of Education meetings, we've been going around to various PTA meetings talking about the budget, and also this past Monday evening, we were at the Civic Association meeting at the Emma S. Clark Library to present the budget as well. In this year's budget, some of the driving factors, we actually had some good news on two of the biggest cost drivers in our budget, and that's retirement system costs and health insurance. The retirement system costs are our cost for the retirement system is a percentage of salaries that's determined by either the Board of Trustees of the New York State or Board of Governors, New York State Teachers Retirement System, or by the New York State Comptroller for the New York State Employees Retirement System. And those rates are decreasing for next year, so that's going to save us money, and that's wonderful news. That was one of the big cost increases that we had in the past few years that caused us to have to reduce some of our staffing. While I'd love to claim credit for that, we have nothing to do. Health insurance decreasing 5%, though. However, we did have something to do with. We're part of a self-insured consortium with two other school districts, and we made some changes to the plan this year, which is enabling us to save money, which is enabling us to lower rates by 5%. So that's going to save the district more than $1 million per year. We got a state aid increase of about $1.65 million for next year. While we always appreciate getting more money, it's not as much as we should be getting. I'll explain that more in a minute. Those things combined, though, the reductions to the retirement system costs, health insurance costs, and state aid increase will allow us to increase our capital projects, however. And that's great news. As you saw from Ken's presentation, we've been doing a lot of work on our buildings. We're doing the bond now. We're doing the energy services contracts. And we want to maintain the buildings and make them even better. So we don't want to simply do the bond work and then say, okay, well, that's that. Now we don't have to worry about the buildings for a while. And when we do work through capital projects, meaning it's more cumbersome to us because more planning involved, has to be part of the budgetary process, has to be voter approved, plans have to be approved by the New York State Education Department Office of Facilities Planning, then it goes out to bid. Timing-wise, it's not the kind of thing you can do in an emergency. You can only do it with proper planning ahead of time. However, by doing all of that, the state pays 66% of the cost. So we save a lot of money by doing work to our buildings proactively as capital projects instead of waiting for something to break and doing it as a repair. We are also able to use less of our fund balance and reserves in balancing the budget for this coming up year. And the good news about that is that will make it, have a lot more flexibility over the next several years, 3, 5, 7, maybe more years, to help mitigate the effects of if there is an increase in retirement system costs or increase in health insurance costs, those kind of things. By using less fund balance reserves now, we're able to use that down the road should we need to. We're also in this budget able to do some things educationally, balance class size of elementary schools. We have some grade levels at some of the schools where just fluctuations in enrollment numbers can cause a particular grade level at a particular school to have a higher class size average than the other grade levels or other schools. We're able to balance that out a little bit. In the past few years, we've had to, because of the reductions we needed to make, we were forced to cut some of our electives, especially at the secondary levels, which increases study halls. So we want to put some of those electives back and reduce study halls and restore electives and services district-wide. The tax levy legislation, we've been talking about this a couple of years now. It's known as the 2% tax cap, but it's not a cap. It's not 2% either. It's a threshold that says what percentage of the voters need to vote yes in order for the budget to pass. Above that cap, whatever it is, requires 60% of the vote. At or below means a simple majority, 50% plus one vote. Every district's cap is different each year. If you remember last year, our cap was 1.27%. This coming up here, it's 2.79%. In state aid, I had mentioned that we're getting an increase of about $1.6 million, but it's not what it should be. And when I say it's not what it should be, it's not just a matter of, well, we always want more. It's using the state's own formulas for determining state aid. They are reducing our aid next year by $3.3 million. That $3.3 million reduction is what's known as the gap elimination adjustment. It's less than it was last year, which is good news. The higher the gap elimination adjustment, the less money to us. Last year was $5.2 million. This coming up year is $3.3 million. Hopefully that will go away in another year or two. So that will be good when that happens. However, that's money that we've been losing. This will make the sixth year of the gap elimination adjustment being in place. And when we compare state aid from year to year, we exclude building aid, not just we, and that's how the state education department does. When you look at Newsday, they compare, because building aid is directly tied to capital projects and bond payments and that sort of thing. So to compare year to year, building aid is excluded. And when we do that, we're receiving less state aid, even in this coming up year, even with our increase, than we were in the 2008-2009 school year. This shows the graph of how much less we're getting in state aid. And over the 6 years of the gap elimination adjustment, we, Three Village, have lost over $32 million. And that translates into, for our average homeowner, just under $2,400. Some of the staffing changes that we are making, it's a net increase of 0.4 full-time equivalents at the elementary school. While that may not sound like much, it's mainly because there is some declining enrollment at the elementary schools. So what we're able to do is take some of our K-6 teacher positions and change our enrichment and PI positions and refocus them more towards an enrichment of science and math kind of programs. We're also adding the health education by health teachers back to grades 4 to 6, and then adding social worker for additional support. The reduction in special ed is simply because of the enrollment and is IEP driven. So should that position be needed because of kids needing it, it would be put back in. But our projection at this point is that we could use one less special education teacher at the elementary level. At the secondary level, there were some changes to the Part 154 of the Commissioner's Regulations, which deal with English as a second language students. The new mandates are requiring us to add 1.2 positions for that, However, as you know, we've talked about before, we feel we're getting off pretty lucky. Central Islip, for instance, is hiring must hire somewhere between 13 to 15 teachers for that. And if you saw it, I think it was today's Newsday, the Hempstead School District got in recently over 1,500 new kids into the district, at least 1,000 of which required these services. So and this is all not excluded from the tax cap. So, as I said, we're getting off pretty lucky. The rest are point twos and point fours and that kind of thing. For the most part, to restore electives and address contractual class size issues. At the administrative level, we're doing some restructuring of positions. There is no increase in staffing. It's simply taking some of the positions that we have now, changing the functions around a little bit. So we've talked about this before. Again, no increase in staffing now. And in the non-instructional positions, we're adding 5 clerical. We had reduced clerical over the past few years by, I think it was 13 positions. And, you know, one, I don't know if I would say good thing about it is when we take positions out and we realize the ones that we really, really, really need. So those are some of the ones that we're putting back now. And maintenance and operations, we're putting 2 back. You know, as Ken pointed out, we're doing a lot more work in-house than we've ever done before. And it's a lot more cost-effective for us, for our own staff to do the work than to rely on outside contractors. So we're putting 2 of those positions back. We had cut, I think it was 8 over the past few years. And then security, we're adding, so we don't do those, and they're part-timers, well, hourly. So we don't do those in FTEs, but we're adding personnel for both during the school day and for after-school activities. In the capital projects, we're doing some projects at Ward Mobile High School. In the cafeteria, we're replacing ceiling tiles, putting air conditioning in. There's pretty much every day after school, there are events in the cafeteria, and there's no real ventilation in there, so it can get pretty stifling. Also, we're redoing the 3 serving lines at the in the cafeteria to make them more efficient. The main office needs some work. This is the kind of work that we could do in-house, but if we do it through a capital project, we get the state to pay 2/3 of the cost, so we might as well take advantage of that. And also some bathroom reconstruction in the corridor bathrooms. At Mount Elementary School, site work, which means paving, sidewalks, asphalt, curving, that kind of thing. There's a lot of uneven pavement. There's a lot of cracks in concrete areas. There are some areas where we don't have sidewalks, where we need sidewalks, so we want to put all of that in. The parking lot has very poor lighting there, so we're going to add lights. And then also we're going to do some masonry repair. The real reason for the masonry repair is because projects that are just outside of the building do not qualify for building aid, so we need to tie it to a project inside the building. So that we get building aid on the entire project. The tax freeze credit, as everybody, well, if you get STAR, the STAR deduction for your home, you would have gotten a tax freeze credit check a few months ago. And that was for the first year, this current year that we're in, was for if we stayed within the tax cap. The second year, in order for Three Village residents to get that credit again, we must stay within the tax cap, and we have to have a government efficiency plan approved by the New York State Division of Budget, which shows cost savings initiatives that we've implemented in since 2012 that save at least 1% of our tax levy per year. So we have a number of things that we've put in place to qualify us for that. So everybody should be seeing those checks sometime, probably in the fall or perhaps early winter this coming up year, issued from the New York State Department of Tax and Finance. The Smart Schools Bond was on the statewide ballot back in November. It was passed by the voters of the state. It was $2 billion to authorize the state to issue $2 billion in bonds to fund basically technology projects in schools. And then they also threw in pre-kindergarten classroom space. The guidance on this just came out last week. We'll be putting the committee together to look at the various kind of projects we can do and make recommendations. Initially, what we're thinking is projects that would be more of a one-time payment, like infrastructure along those lines, as opposed to simply buying 5,000 computers that 5 years from now will all be old and need to be replaced, and we'd have to find the budget for it. But either way, the board will have to eventually approve that plan before it gets submitted to the state. The state has to approve the plan before we can get any of this money reimbursed to us. Our allocation for this is just under $3.4 million. There is no deadline on the to submit the plan. This money won't expire, so we're in no we don't feel there's any real hurry to get a plan in. In other words, the money will go away. So we can take our time, making sure we make wise decisions on how to spend this money. So in summary, our budget to budget increase is a less than 1% increase. It's a 0.81%. Our tax levy increase is 2.79%. And the reason for the difference, the reason the tax levy percentage increase is higher than the budget, well, two reasons. One is because the tax levy dollar amount is lower, so the percentage increase would be higher. Also, we're using less, as I mentioned earlier, less of our fund balance and reserves to balance this budget than we have in the past. And that's part of our long-term budgeting plan. And as I mentioned also, our tax levy increase does not exceed the cap, so this budget would require a simple majority in order for it to pass. If the budget does not pass the first time around, the options are to either present the same budget for a revote. Revote would be on the third Tuesday in June. We're going to present a revised budget, and this would be something for the board to decide if and when the first budget does not pass, or go straight to contingency. Either way, though, if we don't have a passed budget, we cannot increase the tax levy at all, and we would have to cut almost $3.9 million. No ifs, ands, or buts. And as we all know, the election budget vote and board election is on the third Tuesday of May, this year is May 19th, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. If anybody doesn't know which school they vote at, they can always call the district clerk's office to find out. I think there's an interactive map on our website, too, to find out.
They can call me. I'm not sure about the map. I'll have to check.
Call the district clerk, if you like. And also, our budget newsletter is being mailed out. It should be in the post office any day now, and everybody should be getting that soon. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Questions come?
I was just wondering, in staffing changes, I was just interested in the area of security. I know we have hourly employees, but I'm just wondering, what are the additions going to look like, the additional supports? What can we expect to see in terms of personnel, security personnel? I think everybody will be happy.
Yeah, we're going to, well, we're starting with adding a second person at the junior high. Jack, do you want to talk about some of the changes we're making in security?
Our plan is to add a second security officer at the elementary schools and the junior high schools to assist in the greeter process at the front vestibules. Also, we are aggressively looking at our nighttime activity and those groups that are required to pay for security services will be, you know, being a little more tighter with that and actually putting somebody on at night when we have special events. As you see people, I'm sitting here watching people walk around the building, and really, you know, there is no security here other than in this room. So that's something that we're really looking to do also at the same time.
So it would be like 24 hours or just for different activities?
Just for different activities, okay. And then the second person at the elementary schools and the junior high schools.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have one more thing to say, Jeff, though. I just wanted to say, well, Mr. Paulson. During the time that I've been on the board, and the year before I was elected to the board, I remember sitting in the audience and listening to you give your budget presentations and really having no understanding of what you were saying. And, of course, you learn more as you're on the board longer and longer and as you come to more and more meetings. But I also just wanted to commend you on the way that your presentations have developed over the past several years, and particularly this year. I think that they're so easy to understand and user-friendly, and I really appreciate that because it enables our community to really kind of grasp what it is that we're making decisions upon, what are the other influential aspects to it, and so thank you, because I really think that you did a great job. So
thank you. Turning to 9 items for board action, C, the appointment of Board of Registry and Election Workers for the May 19th, 2015 school budget vote for board election. Dr. Kernan, second Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to D, the approval of agreement with Higher Ground Intercultural and Heritage Association.
This is the archaeological excavation of the piece of land that's connected to the Jolinas Junior High School property. There was it was known as the Jacob and Hannah Hart site. The excavation began, I think it was in 2011. They did some work, and our agreement was with Hofstra University and an archaeologist working for Hofstra University. He has since moved to Montclair State University, and so he would like to begin the process of the excavation again to resume work, and he has joined forces with the Higher Ground organization, which is based out of the Bethel AME Church, and so this, we were hoping that they're hoping to start work in June. They expect to spend a few weeks there working, so we brought this to the board tonight. There's no cost involved on either side, just to allow them to resume their work there.
We have a motion, please. Gish, second. Anybody? Mr. Manning.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Jeff, on this, I remember we had some questions about liabilities, though.
Yes, they were able to secure liability insurance. That was the holdup before. And by the way, it's also in the agreement that any items they find remain the property of the school district. So.
What if they're items that belong or have history with Native American Indian communities that are in Setauket, which is what they're hoping to find anyway? Do they have any access or rights to that?
Depending on what it is.
Right. I mean, are you over
we hours? Have in our agreement with them, our contract, that any items they find are our property. Now, if there was something really historically significant, I would presume that would be, especially if someone else felt that they it belonged to them, that would be a matter to take up at the time.
And is there anything that talks about, you know, Indian burial grounds? Because I know those are protected.
We do not have that in there.
Okay. That just concerns me a little bit because it can become more than just a regional issue. It can become, you know, a federal issue if there are remains on
well,
the
we do have the right to stop work at any time.
Okay.
So I would say, I mean, I would speculate that if something like that were to happen, they were to discover that it was a burial ground, that we would tell them, well, stop right now, and let's figure this out before anything goes on.
Okay, thank you.
So far, it's been big things, and they showed us, they showed Cheryl and I some of the things they found. Is, you know, it's old dishes and, you know, things like that. It was interesting. And, so.
All right, thank you.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention, motion passes. Turning to E, tenure by estoppel.
I'll move. Second.
Gary?
Yes. This resolution is regarding an employee who has been with us since 1987, started out in a part-time capacity, and continued on in a part-time capacity, full-time capacity throughout her career here. As a result, she likely should have gotten tenure a while ago, so we just picked up on it, and that's why we present this resolution.
Dr. Kerman, second of Mendelson. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Mention?
Do you want to mention? Absolutely. This is regarding the tenure of Ms. Catherine Taldone. She is our Director of School and Community Partnership and School Aid Child Care, and we congratulate her on her tenure this evening.
It's only taken 28 years to get Turning to F, personnel instructional. May I have a motion on that, please? Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Please, instead of in favor, I'm going to abstain. 5 in favor, 1 abstention. So,
thank you.
Dr. Tversky, maybe you can say a few words.
I would love to. Tonight, I am pleased to announce the appointment of some brand new assistant principals. First, I'd like to welcome and congratulate Corinne Keene, our newest assistant principal, back with James. Next, I would like to congratulate and recognize Tanya Horowitz. She's going to be our new assistant principal at Arrowhead Elementary. Welcome. And last but certainly not least, our new assistant principal at Mount Elementary School, Marilene Hydris. Welcome.
Turning to personnel non-instructional, may I have a motion on that, please? Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Carry
nothing.
Turning to G, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on this, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Mano. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And lastly, turning to H, recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates. Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Jimena, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to 10, information items. Are there any items?
Yes, just a few. Congratulations to our JDB academic team for their impressive performance at the 2015 Regional Quiz Bowl Tournament. With one player short of a full team, Nima Mohammadi, Ian Baram, and Dylan Masters won a series of decisive victories against their competition and took home the first place trophy. Congratulations to Isabella Scott. She is the first place winner for grade 10 in the 2015 Kenneth F. Jambone Writing Contest, and her piece titled Dirty Business will be read at an awards luncheon in May. Congratulations in reference to the Long Island Youth Summit. Congratulations to Ms. Kane and her students who were selected as finalists, and 4 of the teams won scholarships and prizes. Want to shout out best of luck to the Jelena Science Olympiad team who has placed first, but they're going to compete nationally at the University of Nebraska May 16th, right around the corner, so best of luck for them. And also Jelena's is holding Friday night, the Jelena's Carnival on the lawn, which I hear is fantastic. So if you can make it 6 to 8 p.m., that would be great. Congratulations to everybody.
Thank you. Any other information items? Turning to our second public participation session, this too will have up to 30 minutes length. We ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Good evening, everyone.